welcome to Show 15. My name is Chris.
And I'm Hank.
And we are...
My Mac Guys. I'm going for the stereo. Are things going to work in stereo like this?
It's very trippy.
Welcome to the second podcast in our new setup.
In full bass stereo.
La, 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 la.
Very nice. We're having fun. This really feels like we're doing radio. Before, it didn't feel like we're doing radio. It feel with headphones on and just the ambiance of...
Well,
and,
right. We used to sit on the couch and kind of like we'd have to like turn towards each other 30 degrees.
Yeah, we were too close, I felt. It was a little, you know...
Yeah, it was all...
It was not right.
...effed up. Sorry, right. Mrs. Ragazza.
Mrs. R.
So, anyway, here we go. The last show was basically... was a spontaneous combustion of events of like spending 2 hours and 45 minutes, you know, getting our... stuff ready to actually make a podcast and wanted to have a fun show that had nothing to do with specific, well, enough said. I hope you've listened to it and send us some feedback.
Yes.
But this show is about something very specific and something we can all relate to because it's called an iPod.
iPods.
The iPods have come and they've landed and they're here to stay and all 28,000 million people in the world have them. I mean, a couple of shows ago, you were talking about traveling back from Taos and being on the airplane, and literally at one point you looked up and saw
five. Not kidding.
You saw five people with iPods in their ears.
You know the seats where you face each other?
Yeah.
They're by the emergency exit. Yeah. That group of people, each of them had on their laps an iPod.
Right. And it wasn't like they were coming home from some music convention.
No. And oddly enough, I'm not a big iPod listener. Oddly
right.
enough, I don't
right.
take it out unless I'm exercising or hiking or doing whatever. But there was almost a part of me when I took it out. It was sort of like, I'm a card member. I noticed somebody looked over mine.
Please,
like,
please pass the great poupon.
I can join this party. And it was just a, you know, safety in numbers
it's
thing.
It's so funny. It's like, I mean, I agree. I was really happy to get my iPod. I have a second generation one, 20 gigger. One of the only pieces of hardware I ever had that my hard drive did stop. I lost my hard drive on my second generation 2G.
And did they replace it for you?
No,
as I've heard they do.
It was out of warranty.
Oh,
but when I got it replaced from one of the only places which I didn't, there's only one or two places you can get your hard drive replaced on an iPod online, and the guy told me he could put a second generation back in there. I mean, a 20 gig back in there, but the 20 gig mechanisms had a known problem, a known mechanical problem. So he said, I'm not trying. I mean, I'm talking you out of spending. I'm talking you into spending less money. He said, I recommend a 10 gig hard drive.
Right.
Apple only used that specific 20 gig hard drive for a short period of time, and they had a 30% failure rate.
Wow.
Which is pretty
it's a little
high.
Like that Demi Moore movie with Michael Douglas, where they know that they've made the drives that are fallible. Do you remember that?
It was they
had a lot of good sex in the office, and he was in charge of tech.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, it turned out they knew all along that the drives had dust while they were being manufactured on the. They were making hard drives.
Oh, really?
And they were faulty. And so she tried to blame it on him. It turned out that some Michael Crichton story.
Yes.
Deception or
something like that.
God, I'm usually pretty good at this. Anyway, it turned out that they didn't have the proper air filters in the warehouse where they were manufacturing the drives. And therefore, while they were being made, they were being corrupted.
I can't believe you've said this because this is such
this one I thought you were glazing over.
Was the perfect segue into my Apple news.
Oh, fantastic.
It's just amazing.
Not a setup either.
No, not at all. Somebody forwarded me this link to Hitachi's website, which is the ramifications of it are pretty astounding. Though in this day and age of everything basically, you know, getting outdone quickly, I have a tendency to hype up a concept before I talk about it.
Give me an example.
Like now I'm talking about it as if you know what I'm going to say.
And I don't.
And so people must be going like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so Hitachi made an announcement March 2005.
Hey, is that the thing you were going to tell me?
Yeah, exactly. That they figured out. I mean, the announcement was for insiders and it's a little hard. Doesn't make any sense because it says things like Hitachi Global Storage Technologies demonstrated a real density of 230 gigabits per square inch in perpendicular recording technology.
Okay. Geek alert. Exactly. Geek alert. Geek alert.
Finally, you get to use
I, you know, when I say the geek alert, yeah, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm just going to slug it in there.
Well, I think
because it's a real effect.
You're going to slug it in. Geek, I hope for the last geek, one, right?
Geek, I did.
Geek, okay, good.
You haven't. And this is really funny because we're now. Hank has just admitted to me that even though he's had the show for 24 hours, he hasn't listened to it, which is funny because I would think you'd be waiting for the show to come in. But I know you've been busy with your boy, and
believe it or not, I listen to the shows. I tend to like to listen to the shows. Chris does all the post-production on the shows, and unless there's a specific request, I like to listen to the show at the same time as the general audience can.
Wow.
So I don't listen to them after I've uploaded them.
Huh. And do you have any other rituals? Like, you know, you're like a robe and...
I put on my favorite bread
your
album.
Apple robe. By the way, the movie is Disclosure.
Disclosure, thank you.
1994.
I was buying you a little time right there.
Yeah, directed by Barry Levinson.
So 230 gigabits per square inch. Basically, you know, the data that fits onto a hard drive, any hard drive, if it could be conceived of like, you know, visually, lies flat on the hard drive surface.
Okay.
Like literally the bits and bytes lie flat. Hitachi has figured out a way to turn them 90 degrees so they're vertical.
To get more space to stack
them? Yes. Not a little more space.
I'm pretty sure I thought of that.
Yeah, but not a little more space. Tenfold increase in hard drive space.
Yeah.
So, and they're not talking about 10 years from now. They're talking about they're starting to do this right now. And they're saying that they could fit a terabyte of data on a 2.5-inch drive.
Okay, look, the Japanese have done that, but the Americans have just come up with a wide mouth mayonnaise jar. And I just want to let you know that it's a battle and it's still going on and we've got the wide mouth.
All right. So
that's true, by the way.
You've stopped my synapses have stopped
this is
firing.
Amazing. No, it's an amazing because it's really it's reinventing the wheel.
Well, what they said in layman's terms, 10,000 songs just became 30,000 songs.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a huge increase in terms of, I mean,
so that means you can download all the Mahavishnu Orchestra albums and listen to them in one sitting.
It begs the other issue of iPods. I mean, let's get back to like, I love my iPod when I got it. I used it, you know, all the time. I did a movie on location. It was the first time I didn't have to pick 50 CDs and put them in a box and ship them to myself. All I brought was my iPod and I was in heaven. And then subsequently over the years, I've only had that one 2G iPod. I don't know how old it's 4 years old now or something like that.
The refrigerator.
Yes, refrigerator. And it'll lie dormant for weeks. I'd say I'd go a month without listening to a song on my iPod. And I went through all these permutations of like, first I tried to keep every song I ever owned on the iPod, and then it outgrew the size of the hard disk. And then I went through the whole machinations of how do you organize your digital music life. And I want to pitch it right now because there is only one way to do it and maintain a certain amount of sanity.
And what is that?
Is to buy an external hard drive of whatever capacity you can, you know, you're comfortable with, and make that a dedicated sound library. Don't put any photos on it. Don't put any text files on it. Just make it a sound library.
That's great.
You will eventually fill it up.
I'm a convert, by the way. And we have to post the picture that you sent me on the website of your recent additional hard drives, which is, you know, really organizing your digital life and not trying to cram it all on one drive.
Right.
So it's not just
I bought my third drive to do a mirrored backup of my entire computer. Because,
explain that for the younger audience.
I mean, like,
drag your entire drive?
Well, I was backing up. We talked about backups on a previous show. I was backing up to with retrospect to what had, you know, ballooned into a 22 DVD, you know, backup, and it just and I had to get out of the closet to do my backup. So basically, I don't back up as much. So I bought a FireWire hard drive for $138, 120 gig hard drive, and now I make a backup that's a mirror image, basically as if you could take a mirror and look at my computer in the mirror, i.e., it's an exact copy of my computer. That's separate. So it's literally a real backup of everything.
And any software to coordinate that? Here's the real question. Are you dumping?
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm not just dragging it over because that's you kind of can't do that because the computer's up and running, so it can't. You know, it's a little bit weird, but I use Retrospect. I do not recommend it for most people because it's an extremely difficult interface, I find.
And you're about to lose your dessert to my cat. No, does that matter?
No, it's right.
Okay.
Anyway, that's about backing up. You were just saying about the beauty of having an extra hard drive. For music, the point is that you can have a dedicated music drive. You can tell iTunes to use the external drive as your library.
Right.
And then your iPod is just what you want to use, you know, as your likes and your dislikes and your mood changes. So right. Like, don't try to have this mentality of like, well, I got to put all, you know, a little bit of everything on there because you just don't need it. I just go through phases where I like to listen to certain kinds of music. So that's what I put on my iPod. And actually more recently what I'm doing, which I really love, is because I'd never had played with it before, is every day I create a smart list, a smart playlist. That's a shuffle play smart playlist of 50 songs from my entire library. Now I have 22,000 songs in my library. So I just, it's all music I like in some way or another.
Every day?
22,000 songs.
Really?
Well, that's all I can do.
I know, but even I was making fun of the every day. You know, there's nothing I do every day. I brush my teeth every day. I drive my kids to school every day. And you are so organized that I would think you work for the government. I would think that you have a CIA, FBI background. Actually, a lot of people don't tell their friends when they are in the CIA. Isn't that true? Like you could.
That's true. It's like
truly be a knock agent.
Watching too many episodes of Alias. I'm sure.
It's a good idea. So you're saying, in a way, that you've abandoned the concept of having to have the iPod have everything you want on it at all times. That's just something that I never had the concept. I never needed it to. So,
well, a good friend of mine, I made a house call on a friend of mine because he basically had completely flummoxed his computer because he'd put 38 gigs on a 40. He'd put 38 gigs of music on a 40 gig PowerBook. And then he tried to drag dragged his entire library over to his iPod, and he was, because it was a disaster,
right?
You know, and it was like I had to convince him that, and he has an external drive, but he was still living in this kind of like thing, like no, I need to have it all with me. I'm like,
I have a question. Do you get rid of your CDs? Because this is something that I could never see doing. I know a guy this is a music producer who took his 15-year CD library and was attempting to put them in a PowerBook. And he was now going to get rid of the data disks. And he was going to take the CDs and get rid of them. And my question to you is, do you get rid of the disks? Because I can't imagine getting rid of them just for the artwork alone. But I also know that I don't trust the concept of dumping the disks.
No, absolutely. You do not get rid of them. I don't want to get rid of them.
Right.
I mean, for a lot of reasons, just for what you said. Sometimes I just want to put a disc on anyway.
Right.
And I certainly want to look to, you know, if there are liner notes or you know, lyrics that I can look at, even more the better.
Right.
But ultimately, when I encoded, when I ripped most of my library, I did it at, whatever the going, you know, I did a lot of looking around online because I figured I was making an important decision. And, you know, I could give you the numbers, but I won't. But at that time, it was considered, this is the best quality that's, you know, close to almost indistinguishable from CD quality, but still getting the benefit of it being an MP3,
right,
which is in general, it's 10 times less size than what's on the CD. So
right,
as the standard track on a CD is 10 megabytes, it'll be 3 megabytes or whatever. No, 30. Sorry.
You aren't giving me the numbers. You said you wouldn't give me the numbers.
Okay. It's, you know, 10 times less. Blah, blah, blah. So, but the point is that was before they came out with AAC encoding. It's before they came out with Apple lossless encoding.
Right.
So now it's like, you know, if you were to do it again, I guess you could say, well, I would do it at Apple lossless. And then you could make an argument for getting rid of your discs.
But even then, you still have the artwork issue.
Absolutely.
And the sentimental value of having it in your hands.
Absolutely. And so that's just a personal decision.
Right.
You know, I do know people that have done it.
Do you read lyrics anymore, though? Because I find that I can't physically read them. They're too small. They're too small on the disc. I mean, right. I really did. You know, Elton John, when it first came out, you know, Yellow Brick Road had all the lyrics printed on it. And I think I know every word from those albums because I could read them.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't done it in years.
That's a good point. We didn't even get to one of the things I thought would be the major topic of discussion with iPods, which is that
show's not over.
I know. I'm not getting anxious. Was you know, when after getting the iPod and feeling a little bit comfortable with how it worked, I mean, one of the first things I wanted to do was have it in my car, because that, to me, was the coolest thing in the world. Because I had a CD changer in the trunk in my 95 Passat, and there was nothing more silly than, like, having to make this decision before I left home of, like, which CDs are in there? Do I want to replenish them now?
And did you ever go to the second cassette holder? Because that, to me, is the way to go. I bought two.
You bought two cassette holders.
Yeah, I just thought for $16 more,
right,
and therefore I'm never walking to the car. I swap all the time.
Right.
That's my low-tech solution.
Well, it's like the people that buy those 300 CD changers for their homes, which are now dirt cheap.
Oh, I bet.
You can get
because nobody wants them?
Yeah, just because they just came down in price. You can get a Sony 300 CD holder changer at home, like a jukebox, for something like $200.
I actually might consider doing that.
Really,
I like that.
It's a really cool idea. And anyway.
It's actually a good way to store your CDs.
Yeah, it's true.
On top of it.
Well, then you still have to make a decision about the jewel cases and the artwork, I guess.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
then
true.
You just have empty boxes in your drawers.
Just when I had it figured out, you've confused me again, Henry.
So I thought it would be a piece of cake to get my iPod in my car, and then it would be in Schaefer City, as they say. And it was a disaster. I mean, I remember going to Good Guys, and this is 4 years ago, and going to the audio department, the car installation department, and saying what's the good guy quote? What's the cool way to get my iPod in my car, just so I can have it like mounted on my dashboard and hardwired into my CD system?
Right.
And the guy was like, he looked at me, he's like, he hadn't barely had heard of what an iPod was. I mean, how much has the world changed even based on that?
Well, especially since the automakers have gotten on board and actually lined up to build them into the car.
Well, they do, but it's an interesting, I've been monitoring this path because basically, I went through, I did it myself. There's a lot of great tutorials online. I'll put a link on our blog spot.
Back up. You did it yourself, but you did it very elegantly, and I would like you to explain a little bit about that.
Well, that's what I mean. I did the research about going to, there's a couple places that make really, really well-designed iPod holders that snap into almost every contemporary make and model of car. So I ordered that part from them. Then there's another company, there's only two of them, that make a cable that goes into the back of pretty much any standard contemporary car's OEM, original equipment manufacturer's stereo unit. So the Alpine,
is it like a line out type or line in?
Well, it gets a little complicated because what happens is the only thing on the back of those units is the CD changer, which is this weird 7-pin thing for cars.
I see.
That's the only thing back there. There's no like auxiliary out.
Right.
It's for cars.
Right.
So these guys make, for $70, there's a cable with a little chip in line that plugs into the back of the head unit.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what you did.
And then it dangles, then you got to snake it underneath your dashboard and then you wind up with a stereo mini plug.
And is that the same plug that some units have on the front now?
Well,
because I noticed that, wasn't sure if that's
well.
The
now
same
there's
issue.
A couple of units. I mean, when people ask me, a friend of mine again,
and not now because those years ago.
Oh,
I remember 3 or 4 years ago.
No, this
I went
is
to
a
put
whack. This connector is like car manufacturer connector. It looks like it's weird.
Looking. Okay,
it's not something you'd ever want to look at. But I mean, so I had to buy an iPod holder from one place. I bought the cable from another place. I had to buy a set of keys to remove my head unit, which were like $7, which I found online, which are like there's little four little holes on the front of every head unit in your car.
Right.
And you put these little metal inserts in with them. First, I downloaded a tutorial on how to do it with a coat hanger and took about 4 hours of not getting it out.
Right, exactly.
And then I found a website that for $5 was going to send me the keys for my car.
Right.
And it pops right out.
Interesting.
Put the cable in, snaked it under the dashboard, clip this plastic thing into my onto the center post in my car.
Would those keys work on my Beetle?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have them with
just
me
in
my glove compartment.
Okay.
And lo and behold, it sounds amazing. It sounds as good as the CD.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
I mean, the thing that I find so amazing is that was 3.5 or 4 years ago I did that. And about 3 weeks ago, a friend of mine said, how do I get my iPod into my, like, 2005 Saab convertible? And I said, I'll send you all the email notes. So I emailed them, these, and it turns out the cable's not made for his car. I mean, he can't do it.
For his OEM, for his...
But right. I mean, you know, as opposed to 4 years ago where the guy gave me a blank stare at Good Guys, now I drive by Good Guys and Circuit City, and they advertise in the window about putting your iPod in your car. So, and, right. you know, BMW.
Big business.
BMW does it. You know, they have a deal with Apple now.
Right. So six manufacturers, actually.
Right.
And I may be wrong. VW is not on the list, which is interesting because they originally had a Beetle offered with an iPod.
That's right.
A couple of years ago. So right. You would think they were ahead of the curve. And they were missing from this list. I was really disappointed, actually, because, you know, I'm a big Bug Beetle fan. So.
And I couldn't believe that I couldn't find him the cable for his, you know, Saab convertible. So basically, what it boils down to now is that there's the way I described with a couple of cables. It costs about $100, and you do it yourself.
Huh.
There are the six manufacturers have deals, and some of them come actually pre-ready. You know, the one recommendation is if you can buy a new stereo, you can buy a head unit. You can buy a radio so that has a little stereo mini plug auxiliary right in the
right.
front of it.
Right. That's what I was wondering about.
And then and there's just no auxiliary button. And
but then you still have a wire hanging down, which is not as nifty looking. You know, my idea would be to mount it in the glove compartment.
Right.
And I'm wondering if we could segue to a little bit of iPod accessories and my own stories.
Yes.
You know, I know that a teenage girl just said that she liked the iTrip and she thought it was cool. I don't know if she I've never road tested it. We just gave away some newer technology FM transmitters on our show.
They're all bunk.
Well, this is thank you.
They're all buoy.
You don't know my story. I went through. You're getting the damn story. I went through three or four of them, and I never even got balanced sound out of the left and right speaker because it was using the cassette head and some of these gadgets. I went and returned three or four of them, and I gave up. And I said, you know what? I'm going Henry's route when I'm ready to do it, which is basically you cannot get around that hard lining into the stereo unit. I don't think. Have you tried iTrip or any?
No, I mean, because when I got my iPod, I immediately went online and, you know, iPod Lounge had just opened and everything iPod, you know, a couple of the big websites, iPod Lounge is now the main clearinghouse for iPods.
Right.
And it's like, and I went there and they're basically a user group forum based environment. So it's really fast to get feedback from people and everybody was unanimous. They all suck. You know,
right.
It's like the FM transmitter ones, if you're in an urban area, suck. And the cassette adapters suck because they sucked before. They sucked before there was an iPod. So why the iPod
good.
Didn't make them any better.
I feel better already because I was really considering the
iTrip.
So
I wasn't going to spend the $20 to even try it. You know, lo and behold, my whole ordeal was surprisingly long-winded and took a while. I'm very happy with it now. And I would love to pass along the information. Anybody that's interested in the specifics
would be. You can pass it right on to my Beetle, which would mean
absolutely. When you're ready to go,
Yeah.
It's an easy job to do and I know where to get all the parts and you can email me and I gladly will send you all the information I've just spoken about to get.
Speaking of iPod gear, this is an ad a lot of people are going to see. It's called the iBoom. And what it is basically you slip your iPod into what looks exactly like a boom box. Now, I don't know for me, it's all about sound quality. So if it doesn't have the bass and it doesn't have the treble,
it looks pretty cool.
It looks cool and the price is right. I mean, I think.
How much is it?
It's at $149 now.
Because when you go to the Apple store now, I mean, there's no less than 5 or 6 of these, you know, Bose makes one, Altec Lansing makes one of these little desktop speakers and an iPod in the middle.
Right.
But they're not boom boxes in the sense.
No, and obviously the Bose being the one that rocks your world. And
I listen to it.
Beyond a cut above. I mean,
really?
There's just really no comparison. It's Bose has its name for a reason.
Right.
And but this thing looks really cool. And certainly, you know, Sierra's going to have a birthday coming up. And for me, I think this might be
a very cool
gadget. It takes minis and regular iPods. And then for $44 more, you buy a pretty cool looking carrying case. You can take it down to the beach.
You say minis and regulars. I'm always a little bit put off by the fact that they've already gone through so many, you know, physical permutations. I don't think I'm so happy with my second generation iPod that the only cable in it is a FireWire. I just think that's so cool. And I'm shocked they went away from it.
Because this brings us to all technology moving forward seems to leave features behind that were great.
Yeah.
Whether it be a car, having some cool gadget, and you go, oh, this is great. So now, this shouldn't the best idea win and then forever move forward?
Yes.
And how many times you bought a stereo, and then you go to do something you did on five other decks before,
right,
and you go, oh, that's audio dub was a feature. The first VCR I ever bought had audio dub on. Actually, a friend of mine did.
And Lee Press On Nails?
Lee Press On Nails, yeah, which I'm actually trying to dig up because the girls have heard the legend of these little commercials. We would do spoofs of these. What we would do is basically have a party and put on – you know, we record an hour of television, and my theory is you can make anything funny. So it's not about looking for the right program. It's just looking for we would overdub every commercial or any kind of show that we would see. The point is this audio dub feature, I opened up a manual. It's like, what is audio dub? You can replace the original sound on a video. And I thought, how cool is that? Guess what? Good luck trying to find an audio dub deck unless you're going to go to a pro series deck.
That's so funny.
The feature went away.
That's a great example.
Yeah. And so,
and that's some of the funniest stuff. I mean, I always refer back to Lee Press On Nails. I mean, if our viewers could only see it right now.
You know what? I'm going to find it. I'm going to make a QuickTime movie. We're going to put it. Can we put it on the blog? Does the blog?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have enough room for?
Well, it would have to link to a separate page.
Well, go to my page. I put it on my movie page. Yeah. You know what? They can't see it. It's a legal issue. The rights to Lee Press On Nails, that kind of. You laughing?
I can't believe you. No, you're not. You're not serious.
I am saying
dude,
that.
Dude, I'm about to offer up a piece of shareware for copying MP3 files between an iPod and a computer. And you're going to tell me that you're not going to put the movie on the website because Lee Press On Nails is going to find you?
Okay. Well, we'll live dangerously. I guess I just thought that maybe I was thinking more for my director's reel that
put it on my website.
Okay. All right. It's coming. You guys are going to get a kick out of it. And the quality is video circa 1979.
Oh, it's
and
hilarious.
All the snow.
It's
a terrible copy, but you'll get the idea.
All right. I think we've iPodded enough.
Hey, we hit the magic number, brother. 27.
Oh, but yes.
Just telling you.
Oh, thank you. Shareware for the two things I wanted to pitch out for iPods. One is, I love the name of it alone. It's called I Eat Brains. With a Z at the end,
wow.
With no spaces.
What could it be?
Now, what it does, it's really cool, and it's not 100%, but it's the only thing that does that. It will take a little bit of a sample of the first few. I don't know how it works. Somehow, it looks at a track that doesn't have any tags in iTunes, and it goes out and sees if it can match it to a database it has built.
So
if you have something that's just called Audio Track 1, and you don't know the information about the artist. It can actually will go out and look in its own database.
Okay, but and this came up today. What happens when we get from our record club the last CD that we got made privately by somebody making a collection had no tags on it? So would it find Jim's?
Yeah, it'll
tags?
Find the tags.
I'd love to test that right now.
Oh, it's very cool.
And right now.
Yeah. Well, right at the show, I'll show it to you. It's really cool.
Okay.
It's called iBrains, and it's not 100%, and it's a little. For the guy that has one of the most pristine looking music libraries you can imagine.
I can imagine.
It has loved it. I mean,
did you like the movie Mommy Dearest?
careful.
I was just kidding. But I clearly stumbled upon something. It must be clean. I have a friend Bruce. I'm always joking. He's so clean and anal about things. And we go camping.
Can I pitch my other piece of shareware?
Yes, you can.
All right.
Pardon me.
And the other one we test drove tonight. Because we couldn't believe how cool it was looking, and it wasn't until I had some music on my iPod. That I brought my iPod over last week, and I only had two podcasts on it.
Yeah, that's all to test your shareware. I know where you're going. This is
it's
cool
called Snooty, and it's basically iTunes spelled backwards, and it's really cool, and it's scary cool because what it does when you open it up is it looks like you've just opened up iTunes. It's a piece of shareware that looks like the brushed stainless window of iTunes, and you plug an iPod into your computer and it shows up and you can highlight songs and you can hit copy right there in the window
and it bounces them
right to your existing iTunes library without blinking an eye.
And we did it tonight with
and it's now that really fast.
It's so fast that and Henry wanted us to get ready for the show and he was sort of upset that I was diverting my energy to other things. But while we were talking, I was snooting the hell out of his iPod. And I just downloaded the equivalent of like 20 albums. And it just took no time at all. I don't even get it.
Yeah, it's
cool.
It's a little
Is
scary.
It legal?
No.
Right.
Well, okay, I mean, the software is legal because it
isn't. Yeah, I mean, in other words, like, will Sanuti ever be
in
any way bothered by Apple for having the interface match that kind of crap?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Interesting.
Any mail you want to pitch in there?
I got a one-liner, man. One-liner mail. And listen, if we get negative email, you know we read it. I just happen to have gotten another email that said, "Hello, I found your show and you're doing a great job. Jay." Love it.
Jay?
Jay. Thank
cool,
you, Jay.
Cool, dude. Yeah, or dudette.
You know what I like? I just like the effort that someone listening makes the effort to then find your address and write you a note.
But so do you think
that's cool.
What was the email with the woman saying, "Are you Hank or are you Henry?"
That was the guy. I thought that was Podcast Bunk. I thought that was Bruce.
No.
That was Bruce was. I'll find it.
Nope.
I'm looking for it.
Nope.
Okay. You don't think so?
Nope. Well, we'll talk about it next time.
Okay.
One
more.
Yes,
one
go,
more.
Go, go, go.
It's called HP Tattoos and really really cool. I mean, I'm not the guy to do it, but you basically can download these printable skins for your iPod. So if you want your iPod to have any kind of cool graphic, and I'm pretty sure if this is stretching, that you can also add your own design. But if not,
probably,
the idea
right?
is, yeah, I could not imagine they wouldn't have that. And if they did, write me a letter.
Cool.
But basically, yeah, you print out a cool skin and you apply it just like you see these people putting their cars with advertising on it. It doesn't hurt the unit. And it's certainly a way to, in a house of five iPods, a lot of places I go, everybody owns one. It's certainly a way to identify which is yours, and I think it's great.
That sounds cool.
And it's not expensive. It's like $19.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, that wraps up our show. And what are we going to do? What's our next show going to be on?
The next show is going to be on your cleanliness and need to organize. Oh no.
Oh, I know. No, it's going to be on customizing our Macs.
Yes, desktops, everything,
what I live for.
Right.
It's once again, I'm going to just roll with it.
Love that.
See you soon.
Okay, man. See ya. Bye. Thinking about the times you
drove in my car. You've been listening to
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com. Uh-huh.